Ministers Week 74. This is the second of three Peyton lectures which serve in this 30th series as worship services. On February 6, 1974, Dr. Zan W. Holmes, with musicians from the Black United Methodist Churches of Dallas, conducts this service of liberation and hope in the Black tradition. This tape has been produced by the Audiovisual Department of the Perkins School of Theology.
Stand. Take heart, my brothers and sisters, children of God's own choice. We shall receive and keep God's appointment to us and be his people, living in harmony in the spirit of oneness.
God, we believe in our faithfulness to deserve the liberation and hope for all his people.
Let us sing together hymn number 93, Come Thy Fount. Go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Walk together, children. Don't get weary. There is a great camp meeting in this promised land.
Amen.
The day is past and gone. It's Ernest Clark. scripture lesson for the morning is found in the third chapter, the book of Acts, the first 10 verses. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms of those who enter the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him and with John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Mrs. Ruby Blair, what Jesus means to me.
us all say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you at this time if you would turn to hymn number 92. Let us all stand as we sing together this great hymn of the church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. let us all say amen again. I would be misleading if I told you that I'm glad to be here this morning. I am honored to have the privilege of sharing with you in this worship service during Minister's Week. This service really speaks to me this morning. I don't know about you. The theme is liberation and hope. And it is a day of liberation for me. I appreciate Brother Clark singing that song, "The Day Is Past and Gone," because for 1 year now I have been looking forward to the time that this day would be past and gone. That's a heavy burden, my sisters and brothers. One of the central themes of the gospel is the marvelous way in which God acts to bring liberation and hope to his people. It is a theme that not only recurs throughout the gospel, but it is a theme that was especially accented by Jesus on the occasion of his first sermon. For on that occasion, he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me. He has sent me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce that captives shall be released, and the blind shall see, that the downtrodden shall be free from their oppressors, and that God is ready to give blessings to all that come to him." And at the conclusion of the service, the pastor parish committee called a meeting and got rid of him. But nevertheless, the chief activity in which our Lord was engaged, it seems to me, was that of liberating men and women and children from life's imprisoning conditions. People of all walks of life who, because of faith, guilt, and personal hang-ups, were considered marked persons. Sick people who had to bear their diseases as punishment for crime or some sin committed. Gentiles, women, and children who did not count for anything in the community. The so-called nobodies of the world. The lame, the blind, and the demon-possessed. My sisters and my brothers, I am convinced that if the Church of Jesus Christ today is indeed to be a viable institution for many in our day and time, that it must ever be sensitive to the need for liberation and hope among all people. This is a concern which confronted me in a most vivid way very early in my ministry. I remember that I was serving on the staff of one of our churches here in the city of Dallas. I was also a student in seminary here at Perkins at the time. And as I sat in that office one day, there came into that office a blind woman who was being led by her husband. As I said, I was a student in seminary at the time, and I had been here just long enough to think that I knew everything. And to make matters worse, I had just completed my first week in a course on pastoral counseling.
And you know, when I saw that woman, that blind woman, I didn't really see one of God's precious children who was struggling for deliverance. Instead, I was blind, for I saw someone as trees walking. I saw an object. I saw a thing. I saw something to be used for my own selfish purposes, for I said to myself, here is my opportunity to practice some of the new counseling techniques I've just learned. And before that woman could say a word, I began to tell her what I knew her needs and concerns to be. And I talked on and on and on and on. And finally, when it seemed that this woman could stand it no longer, she said to me, wait a minute. She said, who are you? I said, well, I am the assistant. And before I could say pastor, she said, listen here, boy. She said, let me tell you something. I ain't got time to play. She said, boy, I have come here because I'm hurting. She said, I have come here because I need help. She said, I have come here because I was told that I could find help here. Well, to make a long story short, this experience is not only an example of many who cry out for deliverance, but it is also an example of the inadequate response that we so often make to that cry. But here in our scripture lesson, we have a more adequate response. There in the first two chapters of Acts, Luke describes the teachings and the lifestyle of the general church, of the early church, in a general sort of way. But in that third chapter, he takes one event in order to illustrate how the teachings and lifestyle of the early church were applied to the human situation. He introduces us to a lame man and his struggle to be liberated from the imprisoning conditions of his situation. You know, my sisters and brothers, in a real sense, it can be said that this lame man represents the entire spectrum of human need for liberation and hope in our day and time. For it is a need that is not only found among those who are down and out. It is a need that is also found among those who are up and out. It is a need that is found not only among those who are on welfare, but it is a need that is also found among those who are well off. It is a need that is found not only among those who are on the outside of the church, but it is a need that it is also found among those on the inside of the church. It is a need that is found not only among lay people, but it is a need that it is also found among preachers. The late D.T. Niles was right when he said, we're all beggars, just simply telling other beggars where to find bread. Now, in this man's decision to be placed at the doorstep of the temple, you know, he pays a great compliment to those who worship there. For you see, he could have requested that he be placed at the gate of the marketplace or some other public institution which existed during that time. But instead, he chose to be placed at the door of the temple because he evidently believed that the people who worshiped a God of love and justice would somehow be more sensitive and responsive to his needs than those who did not worship such a God. And on the other hand, my sisters and my brothers, I say to you that it will indeed be a sad day if ever the poor and the dispossessed no longer cry out to us for deliverance. For such silence, if it ever comes, may very well be a signal of the fact that they have lost faith in our capacity to serve up the bread of liberation and hope for all people. You know, it is in this very same connection that I am greatly concerned about the views of those who say that our United Methodist Church is gaining in its appeal to the middle and upper classes while it is losing in its appeal to the poor and the dispossessed. Just recently, I attended a convocation on the Black United Methodist Church held in Atlanta, Georgia. And one of the speakers, Black sociologist Eric Lincoln, said on that occasion that even the Black United Methodist Churches are failing to reach the masses of Black people. This concerns me. Whereas I strongly affirm the need of the liberating power of the gospel for the middle and the upper classes, I also raise the question, for what purpose does Christ liberate us? Is it not to bring about reconciliation among all his children? Is it not to tear down the walls and the barriers which separate us from each other? Is it not to have an inclusive instead of an exclusive fellowship? Is it not to join him in his liberating activity for others? You see, it is easy for us to identify with those who, in some sense, have already overcome their obstacles. But it is a more difficult challenge to identify with those who, like this lame man, are engaged in the struggle to overcome their obstacles. It is easy to affirm the welfare mother who has pulled herself up by her own bootstraps and has gotten off the welfare road. But it is a more difficult challenge to affirm that welfare mother in the midst of her struggle. It is an easy thing to affirm the drug addict who has kicked his habit. But it is a more difficult thing to identify with that drug addict in the midst of his habit. It is easy to identify with the former prisoner who has been rehabilitated. But it is a more difficult thing, it seems, for us to identify with prisoners while they are in prison. This lame man represents the difficult challenge that is ours to bring about liberation to those who are still in the midst of their prisons. As he sat near the temple, it is interesting to note the reaction of Peter and John as they came by. Thank God, when they saw this man, they didn't react as I did with that woman. Thank God that they did not leap in with answers to questions that nobody was asking. Thank God that they didn't seek to provide a cure for a disease that nobody had. I'm reminded of something that Victor Borge once said. He said that his grandfather was working in his lab one day and discovered a cure for which there was no disease. Then he said, this was confusing enough, but he said even more confusing was the fact that a few weeks later his grandmother caught the cure and died. You know, sometimes if the cure is mishandled, it can be worse than the disease. Instead of trying to get the first word in, the first response of Peter and John was to listen. They listened. You know, my sisters and my brothers, I do truly feel that the art of listening is one that has almost disappeared in our noisy day. Someone has said that ours is the age of the unfinished sentence. You know, usually when we are engaged in conversation, we are so eager to insert our own opinion or to get our word in that as soon as the next person pauses for breath, we leap in as if we are driven by some kind of compulsive vocal disease. And I imagine that when we learn the art of speaking while inhaling, that the art of conversation is just going to cease altogether. You know, I have a friend who said that evidently God intended for us to do twice as much listening as we do talking because he gave us two ears and only one mouth. But could it not be that one of the reasons why there are so many walls which separate us from each other is precisely because no one is really listening? In his book, Where Do We Go From Here, K. community, or chaos. The late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tells of a visit that he made to Watts immediately following the riots there. Said that he met a group of little black boys who came running up to him saying, "We want! We want! We want!" Dr. King said he asked them, "What do you mean you want when your homes have been destroyed? How can you say you have won when 38 of your friends and your relatives have died? How can you say you won when your institutions have been destroyed?" Then he said, one of the little boys said to him, "Dr. King, we won because for the first time, somebody listened." I say that the church today must develop the capacity to listen to birth pains before they indeed become death pains. And before the church can be the preaching church, before it knows what to say, before it knows what to do, it must first of all become the listening church. Peter and John, listen. The lame man then asked them for money. Imagine that he was hoping that if they didn't give anything on their way in, that something would happen to them once they got on the inside that would inspire them to the point that they would want to give on their way out. And you know, my sisters and brothers, worship ought to make a difference. Christian worship ought to make a difference in our lives. You know, I sometimes wonder about all of the various things that we are going through to bring life to our worship services by calling it celebrations and happenings and the banners and the guitars and the soul music and all that bit. But it seems to me that the true test of worship is what happens to us as we are confronted by a holy God and the kind of changes that it brings about in our lives and the kind of responses that we thereby are inspired to make to the human need in our midst. Think of Isaiah as he went into the temple. Then in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Seeing God in all of his holiness, he saw himself. And he realized that he had fallen short of the glory of God. And he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." He said, not only am I a man of unclean lips, but he said, I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And an angel took a coal of fire and touched his tongue after his act of confession, and he received forgiveness, and then he heard the word of God saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah responded saying, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Authentic worship ought to make a difference in our lives. Peter and John didn't have money. This is not to say that they denied this man's need for money. I'd like to believe that in their own way, that a sincere effort was made to secure some financial aid for the man, that this item was placed on their agenda. But Peter and John shared what they had. They shared the good news of the gospel. They recognized that this man not only needed something to live on, but that he also needed something to live for. My sisters and brothers, I do truly feel that one of the great tragedies of our time is that there are so many people who have everything in the world to live on, but don't have anything to live for. Who have all of the material goods that they could want, but do not have a holy faith come from a God of love and justice that can give purpose and meaning to their lives. And it matters not how much we have to live on if we do not have a faith that is inspired by God, the God of Jesus Christ, it appears to me, and I would say that our lives really are not worth living. Never forget an experience that I had on the day that The late President John F. Kennedy was assassinated on the streets of Dallas. I was invited to attend the noon luncheon that he was to address. And he never got to that luncheon, for he was on his way to it when he was assassinated. When we got the word in that luncheon that the President of the United States had been assassinated, we were just about to begin eating. And as we received that word, I looked across that great crowd, and I noticed that not a single person in that crowd picked up a spoon or a fork to eat another bite of food. No one of us could eat. For in that moment of disappointment, in that moment of frustration, in that moment of lostness, in that moment of tragedy, food could not satisfy our deepest need. In that moment, we recognized that more than anything else, we needed a word from the Lord. We couldn't move. We didn't know what to say to each other, and we were not able to even walk about until somebody got up, stood before us, and prayed to God and asked for a word to speak to us in our predicament in those moments. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but out of every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. I am excited about the fact that the early church had a unique way of joining together the need, the concern for something to live on, and the concern for something to live for. They had a unique way of presenting the gospel so that it spoke to the total needs of mankind. As Elton Trueblood has said, service without devotion is rootless, and devotion without service is fruitless. Peter and John responded to this man's need with a concern for his total predicament. So they said to this man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This was not easy for this man. For I imagine that he looked back on his life and he recognized that this was going to involve some risk. I imagine he recognized that if he got up, that it meant that he was going to have to take on some new responsibilities. But Peter and John not only said to him, rise up and walk, but Peter reached out his hand and touched this lame man, which was an extension of the fellowship of the church to that man. Our job is never complete in speaking to the human situation today until somehow we have offered to people who seek for liberation and hope the fellowship that is ours, until we have reached out and we have touched those for whom we are concerned. Peter and John lifted this man up. He began to leap. He began to walk. He began to run as he went into the temple and began to praise God. What a joy it is when we come to Christ broken, dispossessed, lonely, feeling rejected, and hear the word of concern that Christ loves us. Hear the word of concern that through his church he shares with us the total resources of the church, our material resources, as well as that precious word of forgiveness and love and acceptance. When these two are joined together and focused upon the struggle for liberation and hope in our world today, I do truly believe that men and women and children will indeed rise up. And they will indeed walk. They will indeed join God in his liberating activity. Oh, I can just see this lame man as he jumped up and as he walked and as he leaped and as he praised God. And I can imagine that he said, in the words of my black forefathers, I was on a downward road, no hat on my head, no shoes on my feet, no God on my side, no heaven in my view, too mean to live and not fit to die, the handcuffs of hell on my hands and the shackle of damnation on my feet. But the Lord spoke peace to my dying soul, turned me around, cut loose my stammering tongue, and sent me on my way. Ever since that day, I've been sometimes rising and sometimes falling, but I made my vow to the Lord. I'll never turn back anymore. Instead, I'm gonna run home and see what the end is gonna be. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I believe that God is saying to his church today, in its lameness, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, that he extends to us a hand to lead us on. Wonder the hymn writer said, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me stand. For I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, Lord, I am worn. Lord, and lead me home.
Where you're sitting now, will you just bow your heads and whisper a prayer? Our past is forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.